In the name of Lord Jesus, we're going to continue with our lessons on analyzing the scriptures. I think yesterday I briefly introduced to you, some of the things that I did, as far as studying the Bible is concerned. Okay. Now I talk about read through the scriptures or the passage that you want to teach as many times as you possibly can, right? And the idea is very simple, to get yourself, familiar with the passage that you are going to teach. You understand what I'm saying, right? So, again, we know that, studying the Word of God requires the total devotion of the hearts to the Word, right? So if the heart is there, then I believe God will enlighten us. Okay. The second point I mentioned is, when you read, you need to read with great care, right? Just don't rush through any passage without actually knowing in what it says. Okay? Now, that's why sometimes you find that to understand a short passage, you need to read through it, ponder over it, and come back to read again. Just to digress slightly, the word ponder or ponder in the English is like you think over it. You think over it again and again. That's the meaning of the word in English. I think in the original text, right, as far as the Hebrews are concerned, when you ponder over the Word of God, it is like, you use the Word of God to preach to yourself, to talk to yourself. Right? Now, that's why when you read the book of Psalms, we are told that, the psalmist ponder over the Word of God, meaning they were using the Word of God to teach themselves. It's like to preach to themselves. That's the idea. Okay, so I think we need to do the same. So when you read with great care. Again, I said don't rush into it. I think one other thing I mentioned is, when you read the Bible, you can develop your own approach, an approach that suit you well. There is no fixed approach which we can say that this is the best one. No. Okay. But again, I said the heart is the most important thing for reading the scriptures. Now, the next thing that I want to show you is, some of the concepts in the Bible are not readily understandable. Okay. So that's why you need to look for explanation from the Bible itself. Now I'm going to give you some example. Some of the term or some of the concept, you need to define them first. This is what I always do when I read the Bible. Okay, I'll give you an example. Right? I think for those who have been with me during the Revelation classes, probably you would know. Okay, we tend to Revelations chapter 1. Revelations chapter 1. Okay. We read verse 9. Yeah. Okay. Now the last part of verse 9 says, John was in Patmos for the word of God, and the last part it says, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay, I think to most people, they would think that the testimony of Jesus Christ referring to what? Referring to the word of God, basically. But I think in the book of Revelation, there is a specific meaning assigned to this. So, for us to understand exactly what it means, then you need to look for you know, the definition, yeah, in obviously in the book of Revelation. So if I were to ask you, if I ask you, what do you think the testimony of Jesus refers to? I think you know, maybe you would say it's a kind of, you know, like witnessing, like you bear testimony of Christ, you know, talking about Christ, talking about his suffering. Now the question is that what it means, right? What do you think it's referring to? Anyone? Those who know the answer, please.
True gospel.
True gospel.
The truth.
Any from the Bible. You know when I teach, I want my fellow students to back up the answers with the Bible. Is that okay?
Referring to the suffering.
Suffering, the testimony of Jesus. Yes. Who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the work rather than the meaning of the testimony. I mean, rather than the meaning assigned to the phrase. You understand what I'm saying? What do you think it means? You know, that's why I said things like that, you cannot just rush through it. You cannot just assume, it means, you know, it can be anything under the sun. But, no. Okay, I want you to turn to chapter 19, yeah? Just to look at it. Chapter 19, we read verse 10. Chapter 19, verse 10. Now, the last part again, it defined by the middle part rather. See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is what? Yes, is the spirit of prophecy, meaning the testimony of Jesus here refers specifically to the spirit of prophecy mentioned in the book of Revelation. But it also means that when you explain the scriptures, especially in the prophecy in the Revelations, in the book of Revelation, you have to explain it according to a certain pattern. Right? Now, it's not like, you know, churches are with the, other Christian denominational churches like this. You know, they can just tie in anything they want. Right? But here we find that there is a specific purpose. Now, you know, sometimes we wonder, that's why when you remember I told you, when you read the Bible, you need to ask questions, right? Now, why is it that, you know, the definition is only given at this point in time? Why not earlier? Okay? You get what I'm saying? Right, so when you ask questions, you basically help yourself, you know, understand the word better. Right? Now, obviously, when you look at the structure of chapter 19, you begin to understand that, too, as far as I'm concerned, because from verse 11 to verse 16, here it talks about the true Jesus Church. That's why you need to interpret it, you know, in the spirit of prophecy. Right? You cannot interpret it in, you know, any way you like. Right? That's why the name True Jesus Church, you know, actually is discussed, as far as I'm concerned, in this passage. Or at least the essence of the name of True Jesus Church is there. Are you getting me? Right? Now, where is it? Chapter 11, yeah? Look at chapter 11. Okay. I want you to read verse 8. Now, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So you cannot just simply explain it away, right, without assigning any spiritual meanings to it based on what the book is saying. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Now, I will come to the patterns of the word or the form of the word later on. That's why when you study the Bible, if you base your understanding on a certain form or on the form that the church has received, then you will not go wrong. Right? And the most I can think of is that sometimes our facts may not be 100% accurate. I make that kind of mistakes as well sometimes because I've not read it very carefully. That's why even though you know my premise or my foundation may be right, some of my facts may not be 100% accurate. Okay, so this is the thing. Okay, now you know that we have been talking about the most simplest one.
I need to stand up and see. Okay.
Zion, or what?
I don't know how you call it.
Zion. Okay. How do the Americans pronounce it?
Zion.
Zion? Or the Jews pronounce Zion? Whatever. Okay. Now, what does it mean? We always say this refers to the church, yeah? Okay? Now, so if you can define it very clearly based on what the Bible teaches, then you'll find that whatever you said is very effective because it's from the Bible, right? And you have not made it up yourself. You get what I'm saying? So when you talk about the scriptures, not only you need to know the Bible, actually you need to back up your teachings. You need to back it up. Okay, so if I ask you, what does Zion refer to? Because we always say, it's the church. Any proof? Hey, before I forget, I should give you a sign first. No, never mind. Let's deal with this first. John, you should know. We did it in Zambia. You know, I think nowadays you find that, yeah, especially, you know, our generation is a generation that acquires knowledge. Okay, everything we need to prove, you know, and we need to back it up from the scriptures. Yeah, that's why I think it's quite essential as well, you know, for us to work on, for example, the basic belief that we have received. Right? Not to change it, right? But rather to deepen our belief, right? Or to help explain the concept or whatever that comes with it, etc. Okay? Now, so what do you think is Zion? Yes, the first one.
In Psalm 74.
Thank you. As you remember. Okay, we turn to Psalm chapter 74. Okay. We read first. Which verse?
Two.
Verse two. Okay. Verse two. All right. Now remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, the tribes of your inheritance, which you have redeemed. Okay. Now, this Mount Zion, where you have dwelt. Now, you know, initially the concept of Zion, actually Zion is a physical mountain. So if you look up the you know, at the history of the chosen people, you know, when David became king, he moved into to Jerusalem, and he actually built a city on Zion, yeah, and he fortified the city as well, right? And I think that is the historical records about Zion, and later on, this idea is developed, you know, into very different concept, yeah, to mean the chosen people of God and the community of faith. Okay? Now, we also can look at other verses if you have to back up the idea. So, Zion is a group of people, you know, whom God has redeemed. Yeah. Okay, now, just to save time, we turn to Isaiah 51. Please turn to Isaiah 51. Okay, we look at verse 16. Yeah. Verse 16. Isaiah 51, verse 16. And I have put my words in your mouth, I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heaven, lay the foundation of the earth, and said to Zion, you are my people. Okay. Now, so I think these two verses coincide wonderfully well with the definition given in the New Testament scriptures concerning the church. Yeah. Just like Acts chapter 20, verse 28, states that, what? The church is what? Is a group of people whom God has bought with His blood. Is it also? Can you see now? Okay, so when you want to talk about this, yeah, then I think you need to back it up. So to analyze, you know, the scriptures more accurately, then certain terms and concept has to be properly defined. Okay, with this in mind, I'm going to show an example. Okay, we turn to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Now we look, read verse 1, 14 verse 1. Now then I look, and behold a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. Okay, now standing on Mount Zion, as we know that Mount Zion refers to the church, the community of God, yeah, in which he purchased with his own blood. Okay, now, so I think the idea now becomes very clear to us because of the definition we have found out earlier on, right? Means that, you know, God is only with us in the community. You get what I'm saying? And you find that when you define the concept clearly, your message becomes very convincing, very powerful. You get what I'm saying? Right? It's no longer just like, you know, you just pluck anything from the air, you know, try to explain things away. And that's not, I would say that is not a very good way forward. Okay? So, you know, I feel that your generation now should be the generation that, you know, must do your best to explain the basic concept or the basic belief of the church much, much clearer than the older generation, because now you have been equipped with the knowledge of the Bible, you have been trained, you know, and you have the capacity, your language is good, your whatever, you have different tools to help you as well. Sure, you should be able to explain the scriptures much better. Of course, without forgetting that we need to, you know, count on God, you know, fully. Right. That's the idea. Is that okay? Yeah. Now, so before I forget, I'm going to give you two assignments. Two is not too many. Only two. If you want more, I'm more than happy to hand it to you. So every time I talk about assignment, all the students will wake up. Start paying attention. Okay. I want to look at the First Peter. No, I only give you assignment, the things that I have worked through before. Okay, I work on it before. Okay. Now I want you to look at chapter First Peter. Chapter 1, yeah. No, actually, I look into this because it's a question from a guy, yeah, who wrote about, you know, an argument against the rebirth, saying that, you know, baptism actually is not the rebirth mentioned in John chapter 3. Okay, so now I think he used this verse. Okay, now I forget about the whole argument for the time being. What I want you to do is, I'm going to ask you a question. If you look at chapter 1 verse 23, okay, now please analyze or whatever you like to call it. Okay, verse 23. What is this incorruptible seed? What is the seed here? Okay, please don't simply just give me the answer, the word of God. Right? Please don't do that. So I want you to go through it, analyze it, maybe even the entire passage, well, not the entire passage, from verse 22 onwards, and also other part of the scriptures as possible, right? To back up your answer. But now we are talking about preaching to other people, right? So a guy, you know, comes along and saying that no, baptism is not part of the rebirth. Based on this, I forget about the concept. I mean, the argument for the time being. We'll do it during the AMC training anyway. Okay, so this is the first assignment. Now the second assignment. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, yeah? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want you to read verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Okay, what is this treasure? Okay, you may say, Holy Spirit, you need to back it up, right, based on the passage itself. What do you think it refers to? Right? The treasure, this treasure. Right? These are your two assignments. Is that okay? I think maybe 15 to half an hour per assignment. Yes, you only need to spend about 15-20 minutes per assignment. Okay. Right, now coming back to you know, defining, you know, some concept based on the Bible. Now, I think I got a few more. I try to recall them. Okay, now turn to what is it? Revelation again. Please turn to the book of Revelation. Now, verse 18, yeah? Verse 18. You know that this message, the final message to the church at Laodicea, is a very important message to us as well, right? Now, I think to understand it more completely, there is a concept that we need to define, we need to explain, right? Now, I want you to look at verse 18, right? Verse 18. Now, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Now, explain to me, okay, what is the meaning of buying? How can you buy from God? What is required? What do you have to pay, you know, to buy from God? Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Because you're here, you are going to convey a message, you know, to help these people to change. Because, like, some of them are blinded, some of them are naked, you know, and some of them are faithless. Right? Now you're going to help them. So, how are you going to help them understand what the passage here or what the verse here is talking about? Yeah? You understand what I'm saying? That's why there are concepts, there are terms that you need to define. You need to look for answers from the Bible. Yeah. Okay. Anyone?
Isaiah 55.
Yes, because that basically is the definition given there. Okay. We turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Remember I told you yesterday, you know, sometimes because you have the tools now, you know, to get all the relevant verses, you know, together. But the thing that you need to do is you need to read through them one by one very carefully. For example, if you want to understand the concept of buying, then you need to read through all the verses. Right? And in fact you can find the answer in Isaiah as mentioned. Chapter 55, right? Now, if you look at verse 1, everyone who thirsts, come to the water, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, the question is, if you do not have money, how can you buy? Right? So you find that the buy and sell, you know, in the scriptures, may not necessarily refers to the normal understanding of buying and selling. You get what I'm saying? Because whenever we talk about buying, it involves a price to be paid. Is that also? Yeah? And here it's even if you don't have money, then you are free to come to buy, but how on earth are you going to buy if you don't have money? Right? Now, so when you read verse 2, actually, and verse 3, it explains, okay? Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Now, verse 3, incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. So, the key concept here is about listening. So, to buy from God means to listen, yeah, to the word of God. That's the idea. So when you listen, then your soul shall be refreshed, shall be revived. You know, that kind of ideas. You understand what I'm saying now? Right? Now, so I think when you have this definition in mind, then, you know, there are many passages in the Bible that become very clear to you. You know exactly what these passages are talking about. Now, for example, we tend to... Proverbs, yeah? Proverbs chapter 23. You read verse 23, right? Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. Buy the truth and do not sell it, okay? You buy the truth means after you have listened, then you cannot trade it with something else that you listen to. You understand what I'm saying? Meaning what you have cannot be taken away by selling it. Or you replace it in our plain terms. Meaning you replace it with something else. Like for example, today you have got the truth. Through what? Through the hearing of faith, right? Now you cannot sell it. Mean you cannot replace it by listening to, for example, other gospel, right? So if you accept other gospel, it's likened to you selling the truth. Is that okay? Right? Now, so you know, with this, when you come to again, I said when you come to Revelations like chapter 13, buy and sell. You know the 666, the 666, yeah. Then you will not think about it as in buying and selling. You understand what I'm saying now? You get what I'm saying? So when you define all this concept very clearly, then you find that your your teaching is Bible based. That's the most important thing, right? We always say, so that this, I think this is like a very important concept to have. You know, we said we always allow the Bible to speak for itself, right? Now, to allow the Bible to speak for itself means we must be able to back up everything that we say from the Bible. Right? So you find that like baptism, okay? Baptism is for the remission of sin. That is not our concept. It's not from us. It's not invented by TJC. It's from the Bible. It's the word of Christ. It's the word of the apostles. You know, stuff like that. Is that okay? Yeah? Okay. I got another example. Only recently we talk about this. Right? So I think sometime we, how can I put it? We have preconceived notions about certain teachings in the scriptures. You know, it's like we always think that, you know, like something bad, you know, something not edifying, you know, we always, you know, put it aside, you know, thinking that, oh, this has nothing to do with us, has nothing to do with the church. Okay? Now, that's why I want you to look at this. Yeah? Again, it's based on the book of Revelations. We turn to chapter 11, yeah? Chapter 11. You read verse 8 again, right? Now, I cite this example basically to bring out the idea that it is important for us to look for answers from other part of the scriptures rather than, you know, just try to explain it ourselves. Right? Now, if I ask you this question, here it talks about the great city. The great city. Can you see the great city? What do you think it refers to? You know, some people tell me straight away, Babylon, the world. Hey, back it up, man. Whatever you say, you need to back it up. From the Bible, okay? You know, these are like, you know, put it this way, these are like, how do I put it? It's like the pin, okay, that hold you back. It's like define your teaching, okay? So if you have all this, like, you know, main point, yeah, grabs, then you find that your teaching will not what, deviate, right? You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so what do you think this great city refers to?
Chapter 14, verse 8.
Babylon. Okay, it's mentioned there. Babylon. Put that verse aside. We'll come back to that, okay? Now, before we come to that verse, I think we need to explain a bit more. Okay, what is Babylon to you, if I ask you, James? What is Babylon to you? The world? Okay. The world. Acceptable. Okay. Can you be a bit more precise? What do you think this recipe referred to? You know, basically, it defines your explanation. Right? That's why if you have key concept there, explained based on the Bible, then you find that your way of thinking will be different. Right? You don't conjure up idea of your own. Right? Okay. Now, obviously, to save a bit of time, then we go to Jeremiah. Okay. Chapter 22. Now, you know, I think on many occasions, right? I think on some occasion, you know, the nations of God are called the great city. Right? Now, I want you to read verse 8. Huh? Now, chapter 22 is talking about what? Talking about Jerusalem, right? Now, and many nations will pass by this city, and everyone will say to his neighbor, why has the Lord done so to this great city? Okay? Now, so I think when you look at the Bible in this way, then you begin to understand that, you know, even though the great city refers to Babylon, and we cannot just say that it only refers to Babylon. You understand what I'm saying? So, at least we can find, you know, the support in the scriptures which tells us that it refers to Jerusalem. Now, with that in mind, how are we going to determine now? Okay? Now, we turn back to chapter 11. Please turn back to chapter 11. Chapter 11, yeah? We need to understand that here, the writer, rather, John, yeah, was given the mission to measure, what, the temple, isn't it? Yeah, in verse 1, the temple, what? Is it the temple? Yes. The temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. And here it also says, but leave out what? The outer court. You understand what I'm saying now? Okay? So, when this great city, if you read verse 13 of the same chapter, it says, in the same hour there was an earthquake and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. Now, so, it's how you look at it, because after you have defined it, right, the great city, now it's like, there are two parts, yeah, to, you know, to the temple. First is the altar, which is to be left, you know, for the Gentiles to trample upon. And then the second is the temple itself. Yeah? Only those who are within, yeah, can be saved from the wrath to come. Okay? Now, so, when the Bible says this great city, you find that this is the city of God, but part of it is like what? It's like corrupted already. You understand what I'm saying? So when the city falls, it has to be this thing. You understand what I'm saying? So if you have defined your concept very clearly based on the Bible, then you'll find that your direction is very clear, your explanation is very clear. You get what I'm saying now? Right? You will not just simply explain it away. No, this is referring to Babylon. Yes, referring to Babylon. Can Babylon be found in the city of God? Yes. If you look at the book of Ezekiel, yeah, chapter 7 onwards to chapter 9, you can see the utter what corruption within the temple itself. Is that also? So in that sense, we can say that Babylon, yeah, has been shifted into the temple of the Lord. Okay? You get what I'm saying now? Is that clear? Okay, so this the idea, okay? So that's why it's important for us to define certain concepts clearly before we explain it. Now again, all right, I don't believe that you will always teach Revelation to your students. It's just for your reference. Okay, but like some of the the teachings on like baptism and all this, I think that's quite important as well. But now, any questions so far, or you have any points to add on? Unfortunately, my assignments to you are not based on Revelation, so you should be happy. No choice. Okay, now just to talk a bit more about, you know, the concept of Zion. Now, if you have defined it very clearly, today if I ask you a question, right, you know, some of the thing before you talk about it, you need to have this conviction in there, right? Now, if I asked you, where can Jesus be found today? Wicked. It's a very simple question. It's like a, I won't say a kiddie question. It's like 15, 16 years old question. Where can Jesus be found today? You may say, you know, he feels only now. he's in the universe, but being, you know, like, you know, having his presence in the universe is very different from he himself, yeah, I put it this way, purposefully dwelling in us. You understand what I'm saying? It's very different. Very different altogether. That's why if I ask you, where can Jesus be found today? Now, that's why you need to answer based on the definition that you have. In this way, you will not go wrong. So I ask you, where can Jesus be found? Where can Jesus be found today? Church. Be courageous. Which church? True church. What true church? Which true church? And Andy. Hey, brother, Andy. Hallelujah. What took you so long? Church? True church? Do you believe that Jesus is only in the true Jesus church? Aiyo.
That's a trick question.
Trick question?
Well, he's also everywhere too. I don't know. Okay, that's God. Jesus is God.
He is everywhere also. Okay. I'm not quoting him on, okay? You understand what I'm saying now? This is where the uncertainty comes from. Because if the concept is not defined properly, you tend to sway either way. Therefore, alright, it's up to you. If you're happy, you go to left. If you're not happy, you go to right. It's hard to stay in the middle. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Okay, I want you to look at Psalms, the book of Psalms, yeah? We look at one, what is it? Chapter 1, 3, 2. I think this will answer a question, anyway. Okay, this will answer a question. Maybe just now I have not expressed myself very clearly, so this passage will help me explain it. Okay, now, 1:3:2, read verse 13. Read verse 13. For the Lord has chosen Zion, he has desired it for his dwelling place. Desire, okay, the word desire is there. Now, it's very different from his present being everywhere. You understand what I'm saying? But as far as Zion is concerned, it's like a willful or purposeful attempt on the part of God to dwell in the place. Okay, it's very different. You know what I'm saying? Just like God, you know, is also, I'm not saying, you know, on the side of the wicked. God is present in the, you know, in the life of the wicked, not in the sense of dwelling, yeah, but in the sense of what? Judging. You get what I'm saying? It's very different. Right? Now, so if you have the idea very clearly explained, then you know that Zion is the church, and that is the place that God designed to live. So, today, where can you find Jesus in terms of salvation? Zion, when you read on, because here it talks about the horn of David, right? The power of David, the salvation of David. Where can you find it? The church. True church, the true Jesus church. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying now? So, you know, obviously I find that, okay, it's not your fault. I believe that, you know, certain concepts that the church used to believe in are now being challenged, right? I think because I think the church has not put enough effort to explain them this way, right? That's why, you know, as time goes by, you know, like it's like everything, you know, that we have received, you know, is being diluted, you know, by the things that we we get it from outside, put it this way, right? That's why our mind is no longer clear. Right? So I find that the church has the duty to make things very clear to the believers. Okay, that's why it has to be Bible based. Okay, so if I ask you again, where is Jesus? Where can Jesus be found? Jesus is in the
his body.
Yeah, his body. His body is the church, am I?
Yeah.
Which church is that?
True
Jesus Church in KK, Kota Kinabalu.
On earth.
Hey? True Jesus Church. Okay. True Jesus Church. Is that clear? Any question? Hang on, yeah. One more passage, yeah, about this concept. Okay? That's why I find that if the concept of the true church is not properly explained, you know, then it's like we have given ground, yeah, to variations, yeah. That this is, to put it mildly, you know, I think the worst case scenario is we give ground to Satan to work to confuse us. Okay? So we have to be very precise about this. Okay, where is it? We turn to Psalms again. Before we turn to Psalms, I want to read Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. We read verse 16. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Annie, you want to read for us? Verse 16.
Verse 16.
Mm.
Therefore says thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily.
Okay, now, you know that Zion is defined in Isaiah and in Psalm, refers to those who have been saved, right? Now, the question is what is this stone? And we know that this stone refers to Jesus, yeah? As explained in the Gospel, am I right? And also by the Apostle, by Jesus. Now, and you find that this is the work of God. He placed Jesus in where? In Zion. That's why, you know, when you talk about the true church, let's say to a group of 15 or 16, you preach with conviction if you know your stuff, if you have defined your stuff very clearly. If you work on your belief and you know what you believe in, right, it's not a problem. So you tell them, look, where can you find Jesus? According to the scriptures, he can only be found in Zion. Now, this is the great work of God. Right? Now, we look at Psalms 118. Yeah, Psalms 118, we read verse 22. 24. Psalms 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Now, obviously, the chief cornerstone here is Jesus, and he has become the chief cornerstone of the church, which is Zion, which is the true church of God. Now, if you look at verse 23, it says, this was the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Okay, so to me, you know, I think the mood in the Old Testament scriptures is quite different from our mood today. Why? I think because there is an element of doubt, you know, amongst many people, right, in the minds of the people, because they are not too sure that actually Zion is the only church. Now, so with this, then you can come to what? Hebrews, yeah? Come to Hebrews before we take a break. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12. Right? Hebrews chapter 12. Alright, verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, the spirit of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Okay, now, you find that this is like a summation of what is within the church of God. It's not just the earthly church, it's also the heavenly church, including all those who are saved, right? Now, here I think that what makes the difference is the blood of Jesus here. Now, obviously, for the blood of Jesus to be present, it is due to the Spirit, okay? That's why we said, always says, the true Jesus church is the church of God, because we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and that makes us different from others. It's not that we are better than them, and on account of the grace of God, yeah, we are ushered into what, this church, right? Now, so my point is, yeah, if you have all this backups from the scriptures, then you can preach with conviction. You're not afraid of people questioning you or challenging you. Unless, you know, these people, they don't believe in the scriptures, that is another story altogether. You get what I'm saying? Right? Any question? I'm teaching YTDC.
Again, my question is, the link, how do you link the... Like, for example, you're talking about the threat city, and you link it to Jeremiah, I mean, how do we link it to
okay, you know, in Jeremiah chapter 22 is talking about Jerusalem,
right.
And Jerusalem at time is also called the great city of God, okay? And when you look at Revelation, it's talking about this thing here. Yeah? And part of the temple actually was being trampled down by the Gentiles. Okay? And you know, only those who are within is like are being accepted by God. So you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I actually have two key points to support the idea that sometimes this great city refers to the church more than anything else. Okay? Now, for us, our normal understanding is we would not want to believe that, you know, this great city is the church. You understand what I'm saying? We want to... No, it cannot be the church. This is the true church, the church of God. How can the church collapse? You know what I'm saying? Alright? That kind of thing. Is it okay? No, it's all right. If you don't understand, just no problem. It's only an example. Well, any further questions? No. Okay. We say a silent prayer.